All right, if you would take your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Good to see this great crowd here on a Wednesday night. And our Cadets for Christ program started tonight. Pray for Brother John and those who are over in the gym. And what a great program that is. It's exciting seeing young men, young ladies learning Bible doctrines, learning how to lead their friends to the Lord, things like that. Thank the Lord for the Cadets for Christ program. How many of you in here have either worked in or went through the Cadets for Christ program? Great. Very good. Again, I hope you pray for them and pray for Mr. and Mrs. Mineta as they're heading that ministry up. And thank the Lord for this church. Thank the Lord for the opportunities that he's given us. And thank God so much for, most of all, for saving me. Thank him for calling me into the ministry. Thank God for a great church family. Thank the Lord for my wife and our son. And to give you a little update on Carter, he's saying new things every day. I tell you, it's amazing. And again, like I've said before, God's teaching me many lessons about myself through my son. Wow. was I that rotten when I was a young boy? I don't know. Probably still am, you know. Carter's saying different words. He likes spelling now. He loves spelling. He knows his ABCs, and he'll sing the song and stuff and skip a few here and there kind of thing. But he loves spelling words, and he thinks every word he's spelling spells his name. So he'll spell his name with confidence and say, "Spells Carter." And then my wife was wearing one of her youth shirts the other day. It said "Truth" on the back, and he said, "TRUTH spells Carter." So we're working on him. But he spells about like I do, so we're thankful for the opportunity and privilege that God has given us to raise a child. What a challenge, I tell you what. And parents keep telling me all the time, you know, you'll keep learning. You'll keep getting new things and learning how to deal with situations and all that kind of stuff, but very thankful. And thankful for the motherly instinct, for lack of a better term, that God gives a mother. My wife is a wonderful mother to our son, best wife in the world. Love her so much. Thankful that God's given us the opportunity to serve together, and we're grateful to serve with the teenagers here and their families, and looking forward to taking them across the pond over to England this next year, and looking forward to that. And I know many of you are excited about that, praying about that opportunity. Tonight, I'd like to bring your attention to a few thoughts out of God's Word, Deuteronomy chapter number 11, and we'll mainly look at verses 13 through 17. By means of introduction, we'll begin reading in verse number 1, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 1. Again, like Brother Seaman said, I hope you'll continue to pray for Pastor and his family as they're away on vacation. Pray that God gives them a good time of rest. And I hope as a church member that you look for ways to be an encouragement to your pastor. Encourage your pastor, encourage your pastor's wife, encourage the kids. And I tell our teenagers often, a lot of churches are blessed with a great preacher, somebody who will get up behind the pulpit and just let you have it. You know, they've been laboring over their study, which our pastor does that. A lot of churches have a great pastor, somebody who will visit you in your homes and in the hospital and things. But honestly, church family, we are truly blessed with both in one man. A pastor who loves his church people, a preacher who you know is laboring over his study, and he's going to share with you what God has laid on his heart, holding nothing back. And I've enjoyed the book studies that Pastor's been going through, but I hope you'll look for ways to encourage your pastor. And one of the most important ways is praying for him, and pray that God gives him wisdom, and he has. And it's amazing, it's exciting seeing what God's doing at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and thinking about what God is going to continue to do. It's exciting in that as well. Take a look in verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, and we'll read down to verse number 17. The Bible says, "Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments alway. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which I have known, and which which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles, and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, unto all his land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and unto their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they had pursued after you, and how the Lord had destroyed them unto this day, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possessions in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which he did. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it. and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as the garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I'd like you to take a look at two phrases tonight. Those phrases are given in verses 13 and verse 14 as well. The first phrase in verse number 13, if you'd like to underline the phrase, if ye. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass, if ye. The next phrase, which is mentioned in verse number 14, is the phrase, that I will. If ye, I will. And if there were a title to my message tonight, it would be simply that, if ye, ... I will. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be here. We thank you for the rain that you've given us today. We thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon our lives. Father, thank you for just keeping us safe. Lord, I thank you for allowing folks to get here safely tonight. And I pray that you bless this service, bless our pastors. He's on vacation right now. Bless he and his family, and help us to be an encouragement to them. And Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we see Moses, the chosen leader of the Israelites, relaying a message from God's word to the children of Israel. And honestly, he's speaking to an older crowd. He's speaking to the ones God has relayed this message to him. He's speaking to those who have seen what God has done, those who have been there, those who have went through the trials, those who have seen the miracles and things. So as we look through the eyes of Moses and the Israelites tonight, may we adopt this message as our own. May we keep this close to our hearts as Moses is speaking here. We can learn a lot about ourselves through the life of Moses. Moses and the children of Israel, there came many times in their life where they complained about different things. How many of you consider yourself to be a complainer? Be honest. All right. I complain way too much, okay? I'll be honest right in front of you here, okay? And when I look at stories like this and all throughout the Bible, especially about the Israelites, they were traveling through and God provided all their needs and gave them food and water and all these kind of things, and they said, our soul loatheth this light bread, and that would have been me probably, okay? So we can learn a lot about our lives through the life of Moses, through the lives of the Israelites. But may God help us as we read this passage to apply these biblical principles to our own lives. The first thing I'd like for you to take a look at tonight, point number one, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 17. Point number one, we see the command. And this command is given in verse number 13. Again, as we've had you underline it, take a look in verse number 13 once again. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments. A command is given here, and again, the Bible says, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments. What does the word hearken mean? The word hearken means to listen and to pay attention. So basically, Moses is speaking here. He's relaying this message to the children of Israel. The Lord is speaking as well, and they're asking for strong attention to be paid at this time. So he says, hearken diligently. They're commanded not just to hearken or to pay attention, but to hearken diligently. That word diligently means showing persistent and hardworking effort in doing something. So he's saying here, listen up close. You've got to work at listening. Don't get distracted. Don't let something take your mind somewhere else. I want you to listen closely at what is being said here. So the children of Israel are commanded by God to work hard to pay attention to the given instructions. And God is commanding them, not suggesting them. And may we, anytime you read a command from God's word, don't just take it and say, okay, I'll believe this one, I'll obey this one, but not this one. No, every single command that God has given us is simply that, a command and not a suggestion. And may we be obedient to every single command that God gives us. Underneath point number one, letter A, we see commandment number one. Obviously, this is not the list of the Ten Commandments like we're used to, but commandment number one in this particular passage is simply the fact the Bible says to love the Lord your God. So the Bible says in verse number 13, it shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to, number one, love the Lord your God. First thing I want you to think about underneath this point is how much does God love you? A lot, okay? Just think about your life right now. Think about the fact that you're sitting here today. Back up a little bit. Back up quite a long time. The largest expression of God's love towards you is the fact that he gave his son Jesus Christ to die for you. Think about that. When's the last time you truly grasped hold of that thought and just kind of chewed on it for a little bit? God loved me so much, even though I'm a dirty, rotten, wicked sinner, that he gave his only son to die for me. You know, if somebody were to come to me and say, Bob, I want you to take your son and give him to this group of people so they can take his life for this group of people to live, I'd say, you're crazy. But listen, God didn't say that. He loved us so much. And his expression of his love toward us was one thing in giving his son for us. Second thing, and obviously that was the most important thing, but I want you to hold up the book that you have in your hand tonight. What an amazing expression of God's love toward us. Brother Seaman was talking about this a little bit in staff devotions today. When's the last time you really thought this book here, this is not just your average book. This is not just a bunch of words and paper and ink. These are the very words of God. These are inspired by God. God has breathed these words. And so often we neglect this book. But God has given us this because he loves us. Did God have to give us the Bible? No. But he gave it to us because he loves us. He wants us to know more about him. He wants our love for him to increase. He wants us to grow closer to him every single step of the way, all throughout our lives. So we look at these two things under point A, the commandment to love the Lord your God. Thinking about how God loves us, he gave his son to die for us. He gave us a copy of his word. In addition to those two things, the Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Think about the benefits that God has given you. You know what? A lot of us, you have benefits at work. Maybe it's insurance and different things like that. Maybe your work has different programs and stuff, incentives and all this kind of thing. But think about God's incentive program. Think about the benefits that God's given you. Think about your health. Okay? You're here tonight. You're not laying in a hospital bed. Thank God for that. Many of you have been through trials lately. Many of you have gone through sicknesses and things like that. But you're here tonight. That's great. That's wonderful. That's a blessing. That's a benefit that God has given you. You know, I try to, and by no means have I arrived in this particular subject, but I'm trying to be more thankful in my life. I know I'll complain a whole lot less if I'm being a whole lot more thankful to God. When I get up in the morning, before my feet hit the floor and before I look in the mirror and I'm startled by what I see in the mirror, you know, I try to take time to thank God for what he's done for me. God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for my wife. Thank you for our son. God, thank you for this house. Thank you for the rain you gave us last night. Thank you for the cars that we have to drive. Thank you for clothes to wear. Thank you for food to eat. All these kind of things, all the little things that we take for granted so often. But again, those are things, the benefits, the blessings that God has bestowed upon our lives. Another verse, the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, it's amazing. This verse specifically says your need. What things do you truly need in life? You need food. You need shelter. Okay, you need water, and there's a few other things that we need. But on top of that, God, when referring back to these benefits, God also supplies our wants sometimes. Even though we don't deserve any of those things, we don't deserve the needs, we don't deserve the wants, but God, every once in a while, he'll answer those prayers in life. My wife is out, this is actually the second time this has happened. My wife was out shopping the other day, and how many of you ladies like to shop? How many of you ladies love to shop? Okay, my wife loves to shop. No, she enjoys it, and she enjoys doing that. She's out shopping the other day, looking for some shoes for Carter. And I don't know if you've been shopping for baby shoes lately, but they're not cheap. Okay, I'm a big fan of the garage sales. All right, garage sales, auctions, bargains, all that kind of stuff. That's me. All right, and my wife is as well. Haven't been able to find much at a garage sale in as far as the kind of shoes she's looking for Carter. So she was out shopping, and she told me when she got home she was really excited. She found a pair of shoes. And by the way, this same thing happened several months ago as well. But she said, you know, I was kind of getting discouraged a little bit. And I just started praying. saying, God, you know, it's not that our son's running around without any shoes on or anything and holes in his socks and stuff like that. Not by any means. We've got shoes on the boy, but we're looking for some for the next stage, you know, as his feet are growing and the chubbiness is stretching out a little bit and all that kind of thing. But she said, you know, I was praying and God provided a pair of shoes. And what a blessing that was. Was that something that was an absolute necessity, something that we needed that we couldn't live without? No. But my God loves us so much that he cares about the little things in life, the things that we often look past. And so I want you to think about that again tonight, the love of God. The songwriter Frederick Lehman paints a beautiful picture about God's love toward us. He actually wrote the first two verses of this song, and a Jewish rabbi actually wrote the third verse. This Jewish rabbi obviously not believing exactly what we do, but I think he had it nailed on the head as far as God's love towards us. The song says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." Verse number 3 says, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could a scroll contain the whole if stretched from sky to sky." Think about God's love for you tonight. Again, if we truly thought about how much he loves us, we would complain a whole lot less. We would get in a whole lot less difficult situations. We wouldn't hesitate to witness to so-and-so, whatever the case may be. But think about God's love tonight and thank him for his love. Even though, again, we're dirty, rotten sinners, God still loves us. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, now ask yourself, how much do I, as a human being, love God? Just imagine perhaps we were to somehow make a scale which measured our love for God. And each day we would receive a number from 1 to 100, and 1 being the least and 100 being the greatest. What would my number be today? What would your number be today? Now, obviously, this is just a stretch of the imagination, but what would my number be when I'm having a great day? Things are going well, everything's going great, getting a lot done today, nice progressive day. What would my number be on that day? I venture to say it would be a little bit higher than on those bad days. Those days where, woke up with a headache this morning, or, man, I wish I could stay in bed a couple more hours, and things just aren't going right, and all that kind of thing. What have I done for God today? What have you done for God today? At work, at home, at school, what more could we do for him? Have we taken time to thank him for the rich blessings that he has already so graciously bestowed upon our lives? Our love for him is displayed by our obedience to him. I'll say that again. Our love for God is displayed by our obedience to him. When we are obeying God, that shows our love for him. How much have I obeyed him today? How much have you obeyed him today? So letter A under point number 1 was the first commandment, to love the Lord your God. Letter B is commandment number 2. Commandment number 2 we see in the same verse, to serve him with all of your heart and all of your soul. Who or what am I serving with my life? Who or what are you serving with your life? We're either serving God or we're not. I know that's quite the strong statement. That's not exactly the statement of the century, but it's either a matter of you're serving God or you're not serving God. You could be serving something else, but if something else is in the way, then you're not serving God, and we're serving something much less. So who or what are we serving? By the way, we should serve God because of and not in order to. This is something that Pastor Clarence Sexton would pump into us all the time. When we serve God, it's because of what he's already done for us, not in order to gain this, not in order to receive this. Yes, God wants to bless his children. God wants to give us things. He wants to provide our needs. He wants to provide different things for our lives. But our reason, our motive for serving him is not in order to do this, not in order to get this, but because of what he's already done. So again, serve him because of and not in order to. Because of what he's already done for us and not in order to receive more. There's a song that says, "After all he's done for me, how can I do less than give my best and live for him completely after all he's done for me?" Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might." Listen, life's too short to live for yourself. We must live for God. We must serve him with every ounce of our being. So far we've seen point number 1 is the command. We see that given in verse 13. The command is, if ye shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, if ye shall serve him with all your heart. And then take a look at point number 2. We see this given in verses 14 through 15. Point number 2 is the promise. So we've seen the commandment. Now we're given the promise in verses 14 through 15. And looking at this second phrase that you underline, that phrase, I will, which is given in verse 14. The Bible says, the Lord is saying that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain. You know, a lot of times it's raining outside right now. It's been raining on and off the last day or so. And a lot of times rain can kind of be a discouraging thing. It's kind of down the dumps. One of those days where, oh, you just wish to stay in bed and all that kind of thing. But I hope to give you a little bit different perspective about rain tonight. Not to look at it as a quote-unquote curse, but look at it as a blessing. And we've heard many testimonies the other night, just through the big day and stuff, and out on visitation, folks being out in the pouring rain, and how God blessed during the rain. And I want you to hopefully to change your perspective a little bit. Rain was a very important thing to the Israelites because it depended on a lot. Because a lot depended on it, as is the same for today. God specifically said that He would give the first rain and the latter rain. Let me ask you this: why is rain so important? Well, obviously, rain helps things to grow. Rain is essential for vegetation to grow, as we see in verses 14 through 15. Their livestock needed grass to eat. It wasn't just a bunch of people out in the wilderness by themselves. No, they had animals. They had all this kind of thing. They needed to raise their own food. They didn't have a Walmart right down the road or right around the corner in the wilderness. They couldn't go to any other store. They didn't have a food city or anything like that. They had to grow their own vegetables. They had to raise their own cattle and all that kind of thing. So their livestock needed grass to eat. The people needed the livestock so that they could eat. Okay. Here's a simple mathematic equation for you. All right, Mr. Scott Martin, I appreciate this. I wasn't too great at math, but I can figure this one out. Okay. Dirt plus seeds plus sun plus no rain equals no vegetation. Okay. So if you've got dirt, you've got seeds, you've got sunlight, but you don't have any rain, probably not going to have a very good yield from your crops, okay? Let me kind of bring that down a little bit more. No rain equals no vegetation. No vegetation equals no steak, okay? How many of you got that one? All right? No vegetation equals no bacon. Now, I know they didn't eat bacon back in, but how many of you like a good piece of bacon, okay? Or multiple pieces of bacon, okay? So no rain equals no vegetation. No vegetation, no steak, no cheeseburgers, all right? Just to kind of bring this into perspective a little bit, God said if the Israelites would be obedient to His commands, that He would give them the rain. This rain would provide nourishment for them to survive, and this rain was and is a blessing, okay? So only God can make it rain. I heard an illustration. It says, back in 1839, James Epsie claimed that rain could easily be produced by heating the air. But his plan to saturate parched farmland by building great log fires across vast stretches of American West never materialized, for which Epsie's contemporaries were probably grateful. Later in the 19th century, a new theory emerged. Loud noises would bring rain. This theory was put to the test in Texas, where Robert Dyrenforth piled up enough munitions for a small war. He blasted away at the skies, but as one observer wrote, Dyrenforth attacked from the front and rear, but by the right flank and the left flank, but the sky remained clear as the complexion of a newborn baby. No rain whatsoever. Listen, rain is not something that we can just generate. Yeah, I'm sure there's some scientists out there that can make some kind of dome or something to make it rain inside there. But in order to literally make it rain outside with nothing else around, only God can do that. And in order to truly receive blessings in life, blessings aren't something that we can just muster up on our own, not just something that we can magically make appear or something like that. Blessings only come from God. And we need to understand the fact that this rain was a blessing. Only God can give us the rain. We can't make it ourselves. God promised the Israelites, again, that they would get rain if they were simply obedient to Him. So again, we've seen point number one, the command given in verse 13, if ye. Point number two, the promise in verses 14 through 15, God says, I will. Point number three, coming to a close tonight, the last thing I'd like for you to take a look at is the warning. The warning is given in verses 16 through 17. And we want to look at two words. The Bible says, take heed. Let's read verses 16 and 17. The Bible says again, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. God's given them a very strong warning here. He's saying, listen, folks, if you're not being obedient to my commands, you're not going to survive. You're not going to get rain, therefore no vegetation, therefore no steak. Therefore, you're going to perish. You're going to die. You're You're not going to have anything to live. You're not going to have anything to receive nourishment from. And it's going to be, destruction will be your end. The Bible says here, be not deceived. Listen, deception is one of the most powerful tools in Satan's toolbox. And honestly, he uses a whole lot of ways to send deception towards our way. A lot of times Satan will paint a beautiful picture of something and put a little bit of deception in there to distract you. Teenagers, listen, I hope you understand that Satan is trying to destroy your life. He'll use somebody at your school. He'll use a whatever the case is. It might be a TV show. It might be a song. Whatever the case is, every single one of us need to understand the fact that Satan is constantly trying to deceive us. He didn't want you to be here tonight. Satan doesn't want you to go to that Bible club at your school. Satan doesn't want you to be a witness at your workplace. He wants to deceive you. He wants you to give you that big picture of truth, but just those little bit of lies that he throws in here and there. Satan's constantly trying to distract us and to take us off the beaten path, off the path that God wants us to be on. Don't serve anyone or anything but God. If we're disobedient to him, we'll have to face the consequences. Here we see a very sad and empty phrase in verse number 17. I've underlined this phrase as well. In the middle of verse number 17, the Bible says that there be, I've underlined this, no rain. Think about that. Are you living a life full of rain right now? Are God's blessings raining upon your life? Or are you going through a spiritual drought? Are you just kind of making it by? Are you miserable because you haven't gotten that vegetation that you need lately because there's no rain in your life? Are you just kind of struggling to make it from day to day? Listen, folks, we must be obedient to God in every single area of our life. God wants to pour out his blessings upon our life, but so many times we hinder him because of our disobedience. So many times I have hindered God's blessing because of my disobedience, because of my stubborn will, because I want to do this and nobody's going to tell me anything different, and I'm going to do my own thing no matter what's going on. How many times do we do that in our lives? We must be obedient to God. We often serve ourselves in place of serving God. We often idolize frivolous and materialistic things. We often are just hearers of the word and not doers. The Bible says in the book of James that we must be hearers of the word and doers, not deceiving our own selves. As we've read the commandments that God gave the children of Israel as they're released from Egypt and living in the wilderness, may we too apply these commandments to our own lives. We must all live lives of obedience to the Lord and his word. Question for you. How many of you truly want God to bless your life? Be honest. How many of you truly want God to bless your life? You want to live a blessed life. Great. Venture to say every single person in here. And I do too. How can we do that? Many of us desire to receive the blessings of God, but we cling too tightly to our own fleshly desires. We must learn to let go and to let God. Listen, I want God to bless my life. I want God to open up the windows of heaven and let it rain on my life. In order for this to be, I know I must first obey him. Not just in things I want to. In everything. Every single area of my life, I know I need to obey God in my Bible reading and prayer and witnessing and all these things. Faithfulness, all this kind of thing. Even in the little things. At your workplace. Instead of just cutting corners. Listen, do everything to the best of your ability. Yeah, you could do it this way and get by and just kind of get things done to get it done, but what is God pleased with? God wants us to do our best. Another thing Dr. Sexton would pump into us all the time is taking the high road in life. The high road is not choosing between good things and bad things, but choosing between good things and best things, and always choosing those best things, always striving for the best things. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. But always striving to do, hey, I'm going to do everything to the best of my ability, so that God will receive the honor. Not so people will look at me and say, hey, good job, way to go. No, so God would be receiving the honor and glory through that particular thing. At your workplace, at school. Listen, teenagers, do your best in your homework. Listen, God's not pleased if you're faithful at church and you carry your Bible here on Sundays and Wednesdays, but all throughout the week at school, you're slacking off, not doing your homework, not listening to your teachers, not being obedient to your parents at home. Listen, God wants consistency. And again, I'm speaking to myself right now. I know I need to live a more consistent life and being obedient to God in every single thing in my life in order to receive those blessings. We're not trying to preach the prosperity gospel tonight. I'm not trying to say, listen, if you're obedient to God and this thing, then you're going to receive a check in the mail tomorrow for this amount. No, that's not what we're preaching tonight. But saying that God is simply trying to stress to us the importance of obedience. He desires to bless those who are obedient to him, those children who are obeying their Heavenly Father. And honestly, this is the mindset of any parent. My son is not perfect by any means. He's a lot like his daddy. But you know what? As a parent, I'm more likely to bless my child, reward him for something if he's doing right. How many of you agree with me on that? Okay? If your children are obeying, they're doing the right thing, yes, you want to reward them. Yes, you want to give them privileges and things like that. But when they're disobeying, then those privileges, those blessings, those rewards are oftentimes taken away, as were many times in my life, okay? Grounded and all that kind of stuff, right? So again, God desires to bless us, but so many times our disobedience hinders that. When we obey God, we must expect blessings. Think about your life in the past. Think about a blessing in your past. How long has it been since you feel that God's really blessed your life lately? And again, we're not preaching the prosperity gospel where if you do this, then you're going to get this and that kind of thing. No, we simply need to obey God. Daniel Whittle and James McGrahan said it like this: there should be showers of blessings. This is the promise of God. There should be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. You know what? Far too many times, I was looking at this song and just kind of think about the words a little bit, and I was talking to Brother Stephen about this a little bit. You know, far too many times, instead of pleading for those showers of blessings, we settle for those mercy drops. Now, I'll be honest with you. I thank God for the mercy drops in my life because I don't deserve any of it. And honestly, those mercy drops are more so grace drops, okay? Those drops of grace that God gives us every once in a while, even though we're either being disobedient or whatever the case may be. I'm thankful for those times. Those are the times that God just says, hey, you know what? I'm still here. Even though you're way out there in left field, whatever the case is, I'm still here. I'm thankful for those mercy drops, those drops of grace that He gives us. But how many times have I truly prayed for God's blessings, for God to pour out His blessings? Again, not settling for those mercy drops, but praying that God would just flood down from heaven, rain upon my life, that He would truly give us those showers of blessings. And may God help us to strive towards that. We've seen a multitude of blessings this past Sunday during our big day. Listen, it's exciting when you see God's people working together and you see things happening for the Lord. It's exciting when you see souls saved. As far as we know, around 10 people, including adults and children, maybe more, maybe a few less, but around 10 people accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, folks, that is a blessing. That's not something that we did. That's something that God Almighty did. God reached down and spoke to the hearts of those people. Thankfully, those people received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But you know what? That's not surprising, honestly. Looking back at a big day like this, seeing folks saved, I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised. It's not surprising because I think of the 70-plus people who showed up on visitation on Saturday going out in the pouring rain. It's not surprising because I think of the hundreds, if not thousands, of invitations that were passed out leading up to this meeting. It's not surprising because I can't help to think of the number of God's people who are being obedient to the commands of God. Now, we know, that's nothing that we did but all what God did. But God blessed this church family because of obedience. Again, it's not surprising. How much more could God continue to do if we're simply being obedient to Him? It's easy after a big day like this just to kind of sit back and say, man, that was great. Now I can relax a little bit. Brother Gary was talking about this the other night. We need to be, even though you might be faint, we need to be pursuing. We need to keep going. We need to say, okay, God, I'm looking forward to the next time. God, give me this next divine appointment. God, show me who to pass a track to. God, show me what teacher at school to witness to. God, show me what person on my ball team to witness to. We must continue to work for the Lord. We must not give up. We must continue to be obedient in every single area of life. Several weeks ago, leading up to this meeting, Pastor was talking about how we'd like to see, hey, we want public servants here. He's given some illustrations, and he said, I'd like to see some teachers here. And God started speaking to my heart, saying, you know what, it'd be great. Just think about these Bible clubs. It'd be great if we got a flyer in every single teacher's box at Daniel Boone High School or at whatever school. It's amazing. God laid it on my heart right then. Not a coincidence at all. Right after the service, a couple teenagers came to me and said, hey, Brother Bob, we got a great idea. How about if we take some of these flyers, these tickets, and put them in every single box at Daniel Boone High School? Listen, folks, that's the Lord. And that's some teenagers being obedient to God. That's some teenagers realizing that they live in a mission field, that they go to a mission field every single day at Daniel Boone High School, realizing, hey, this might be the only chance I can get the gospel in a teacher's hand, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient to God. Thank God for that. I commend you, teenagers, for doing that. So they stayed up late, and they're packing envelopes and writing letters and all this kind of stuff, working hard to get their teachers here. And they had a part in those souls that were saved. They had a part in everything that took place at this church on Sunday. God bless that. God bless that obedience. Another illustration. I was walking down the hallway. Standing out in the hallway, running around doing different things Sunday as far as getting the food and all this kind of stuff. I was sitting out here in the lobby trying to catch a little bit of the service. There's a young man sitting out there. Lord laid on my heart, said, "Hey, go speak to that guy. Go speak to him." And honestly, I was thinking, okay, I got this to do. Lord, I can't do it right now. I was saying no to God, just like Jonah, okay? Went and talked to that young man, said, "Hey, if you died today, are you for sure you go to heaven?" He said, "No, I'm not." I said, "Would you mind if I took a few minutes and showed you from the Bible how you could be saved?" He said, "Yeah, sure." So I started taking Chris down the hall. We're walking down the hallway. Open the first door. There's people in there leading somebody to the Lord. Open the door to the what we call the snack room, where the break room, whatever the case is. There are people leading somebody to the Lord in there. That was exciting. And again, that was God's blessing. I was thinking, man, I hope I get all the way down this hall, past the nursery, upstairs, outside, whatever the case is. If we have to sit out on one of the buses, that's wonderful. But again, God was blessing in a mighty way. Maybe you say, well, I used to be more obedient to God than I am now. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Who is keeping you from obedience? There's always a who when we're hindered. It's either the world, the flesh, or the devil. What Christian is holding you back right now? What is holding me back right now from being completely obedient to God in the little things and the big things in life? What is hindering God's blessings in my life? What is hindering God's blessings in your life? What do we do after a message like this? Well, number one, may God help all of us to pray that He would help us to be obedient to Him. May I pray in my life right now, God, help me to obey You in every single thing I do. The small decisions, the big decisions, every single thing in my life, may I be submissive to the will of God. And whatever God says, may I say, yes, I'll do it. However You want me to do it, whatever way You want me to do it, I'll do it. So first thing, pray that God would help us to be obedient to Him. The next thing, pray for God to send the rain. Pray for God to bless us with those showers and flood our lives with blessings. Church family, let's all do our best as we've seen and commanded in verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 11, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and soul. And instead of settling for just those mercy drops, again, we're thankful for those mercy drops in life. Pray that God would truly give showers of blessings. Let's think about that tonight. As you bow your head and close your eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. What has God spoken to you about tonight? As the Lord is speaking in this passage, as Moses is speaking in this passage, He's not speaking to just a crowd of people. He's speaking to the Israelites, God's chosen people. Are you in God's family? Has there been a point in your life where you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If not, trust Jesus Christ today. The most important decision you can make in life is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, repenting of your sins, turning to God and giving your life to Him. If you're not a Christian tonight, I hope you'll come speak to us. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Christian, as you sit here tonight with your heads bowed and eyes closed, have you been obedient to God in the little things, in the big things? Again, cutting corners at work, or are you doing your best? Cutting corners at school, or are you striving for those good grades? Are you striving to be obedient to your teachers, to your parents? May God help us not to just simply settle for those mercy drops, but to truly see showers of blessings upon our homes, upon our individual lives, and upon our church family. Brother Gary.
Let's stand together. God has spoken to your heart. Great truth tonight. Maybe He's saying to you, you know what? You need to obey. And I'm going to sing one stanza. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. If you can't say that, then you ought to come and clean it up and get in the place of blessing.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's delusion. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between.
for that challenging message. Great truths tonight. Very good. We were kind of giving him a hard time because we thought he wouldn't go until about 7:45, but you actually went to 8:06. So that's impressive, son. You're growing. You're growing. 10 years will be going to 8:15, 8:20. It's going to be awesome. That was a great message. Best message I've ever heard you preach. Great, great truth. Thank you for studying and praying and preparing that for our hearts tonight. Very good. Well, Lord bless you as you go. Be praying. Be serving. Have some tracts in your pocket. Be handing them out this week. Be winning people to Christ. Be inviting people to church. The big day is past. But you know what? We can invite people to come this Sunday. That's not novel, isn't it? That'd be a good thing. And let's keep at it. There's a world that's lost and dying all around us. Let's keep going. One of the neat things that happened a couple weeks ago, a guy showed up, came forward, and he was trimming trees for Miss Ferguson. And I thought, isn't that great? A church member, not out of visitation necessarily, oh, we're going to do that, not knocking on doors, we're going to do that. But just in the normal steps of life, someone's at her house said, hey, will you come to church? And he did, and he came back this Sunday. It's the way it ought to be. The way it ought to be. So let's keep serving the Lord. We will see you Sunday. Men, if you're going to help me get this thing on the platform, it's back in the Welcome Center, a couple planks back there too. Let's try not to kill anybody. You are dismissed. The Lord bless you. Have a good week.